On that night when the angel of death struck, not one Egyptian home escaped the judgment. From Pharaoh's house to the poorest Egyptian's home, the cry went up for the mourning regarding their firstborn sons. Even the firstborn of the cattle perished in that land. But on the other hand, there was not one who had put the mark of the blood upon the doorposts. There was not one family that was mourning, because God had kept his promise, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That was a night of panic for the Egyptians, but it was a night of preparation for the Israelites, because God had already prepared his people for this hour. He instructed them to have the shoes on their feet, to have their loins girded up, to have their staff in their hands, their kneading troughs and their unleavened bread ready to go. And so, after death struck, and after Pharaoh cried out, "Go!" and the people of Egypt said, "Go! Lest this secret silent angel of death return, go!" Then the Israelites were on their way. It was a night of judgment for Egypt, but a night of deliverance for the people of God. Now God is wonderfully able to lift up, and he is able to pull down. He is able to curse, and he is able to bless. He sent that angel of death to destroy the wicked, but also to set the captive free. And so we know that we serve a great and terrible God, a God who is to be reverenced and to be served with fear. And as Moses soon found out on Mount Sinai, no man shall see God and live. To behold his glory is a life-changing thing. And who shall approach unto him and live? Now that is answered in the Passover lamb and its blood. God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And this has to be one of the great all-time gospel promises in the Scriptures. Now if we don't grasp this statement, then we will be biblically ignorant. If we don't understand the nature of God working by blood atonement to save his people, we will never know the gospel, and we will never make any progress in our knowing God and being at peace with God. And so this is vital. And I want you to listen carefully, and I want you to take in what we learn here in this great statement. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You'll find that in verse 13 of this chapter 12 in Exodus. Now note here that God is the source of the blood. God says, I will. God revealed to his people the plan of atoning blood. And we need to see this fact in our study of the blood redemption in the Bible. That blood atonement always begins with God. Now get that in your mind. Get that in your heart. Blood atonement, redemption by sacrifice, was never man's idea. It was never man's way. Now, I know that various religions of the world have their own form of sacrifices. But in the history of God, this plan, this purpose of reconciliation or atonement for sinners to be right with God, it came as God's plan, God's way of saving men for himself. And the doctrine of blood atonement is never man trying to get right with God, but rather it is God's way of saving sinners and bringing them into a right relationship with himself, that they may be spared from judgment and that they will be saved from his wrath. God has revealed his satisfaction with atoning blood. Now, satisfaction is a great gospel word. And although it's not found in the Bible, just as the word Trinity is not found in the Bible, nor is the word substitution in the Bible, yet it is a gospel term that describes the biblical doctrine of salvation by God judging his Son, God pouring out his wrath upon his Son, that Jesus in his death, in his sacrifice, made satisfaction unto God. He paid the penalty of sin, satisfied the demands of the law, put it all right, paid the debt that we might go free. But in that doctrine of satisfaction, there has to be the shedding of blood. And that, of course, leads us all the way to the cross, where the Lord Jesus, in his death upon that tree, poured out his life, made reconciliation by becoming a satisfaction and a substitute for us. Now, the closest word that we have in the Bible to this term satisfaction is the word propitiation. And you'll find that in Romans 3. You'll also find it in 1 John chapter 2. And it means to turn away. To propitiate is to turn away the wrath of God. And praise the Lord, he has done it. And by his atoning blood, the wrath of God is turned away. Now that principle you see right through the whole Bible. In Leviticus 17, verse 11, we are taught there that the life is in the blood. And that is fundamental. That's a cardinal truth. Then we come to the New Testament. And in Romans 3, 25, you read there that Jesus offered a propitiation through faith in his blood. And you need this. You need your faith to be in the blood of the Lord Jesus. And that's the call of the gospel. The call of the gospel is not just to turn over a new leaf, start doing something better, get rid of a few old bad habits, start out a new page, a new life. No, you need to get under the blood. And just as the Israelites on that night of their redemption, they had to stay in their homes while that blood mark was upon the post, so that when the angel of death visited, they were safe right in their homes. And also God has revealed the principle of substitution in the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This blood stood in the place of the people. It was to protect the people, but it was personal. Every home had to have their own lamb, and every home had to have their own blood posted, smeared upon the sides of the door and the top of the doorpost over the lintel of the door, so that it was highly visible. And each and every home needed the mark of the blood. I wonder, when God looks upon you, does he see the blood of his Son written loud and clear upon you? Is your faith and trust, is your confidence in the blood of the Lord Jesus? And praise God, Jesus died as our substitute to take away our sins and to set us free. And on that cross, the Lord Jesus took my guilt and I get his righteousness. Yes, there is this wonderful transfer of his righteousness to me. Christ takes the blame, I get the blessing. Christ takes the guilt, I get the pardon. Christ takes the punishment on the tree, and I get the reward of all his sufferings bestowed upon me. Now, it can't get any better than that. That's the gospel. That's the good news, that when we are under the blood, you are wonderfully, powerfully saved. And again, it's all God's plan. I want to focus on that. I want to major on that. It's all God's plan. You are not left to find your own way to find salvation. You're not to come up with your own plan, your own budget, but rather you are to accept the amazing plan of God and accept the provision of his Son sacrificed, his blood, to wash away your sins and set you free from all condemnation. That is good news indeed. And to think that the sinner that is deep died in wickedness and sin, that you can be free and blessed indeed. That's amazing grace, and it's all based on the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus. Now, the Israelites' hope was in the application of the blood. If you look at chapter 12 on down to verse 22, now we didn't read this verse, but you'll see how they did it, how they put the blood upon the doorposts. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, that was a little bush with various leaves on it, and they were to dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. So here is the application of the blood upon those doorposts. And the Israelites, while in Egypt, they had no altars. The tabernacle came later in the wilderness. And so their homes were to be covered in the protection of the blood, the doorway that stood at the front of each home. And this was the manner in which the blood was presented and by which they demonstrated their faith in the blood. They literally took that applicatory little bush. It was their way of brushing it onto the doorposts. And by that means, they were putting their faith and their confidence in the blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, we apply the blood to our hearts and our lives by our obedience to the gospel, to this good news that God sent his Son. And when you look upon Jesus as your Redeemer, your sacrifice, and you say, "Thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood upon that cross. I take that blood and I trust in that blood as my way of peace with God." And when you do so, there is no longer judgment, but you are marvelously and wonderfully set free. Now, there's a hymn in our hymnal that we just love to sing. It's called "I'm Depending on the Blood." There was a friend of mine who sang this as a solo, and he was inimitable. He had his own way and his own style of singing it, but the words are absolutely precious. "On the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk someday, yet so many are not willing to accept the living way. But while others build on good works or opinions if they may, hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood." And then the refrain goes, "In the soul-cleansing blood of the Savior, I've been washed in the crimson flood. Though the world may say there is hope some other way, I'm depending on the blood." And verse 2, some will tell us that God's mercy is their only hope and plea, that a soul could not be punished throughout all eternity. But I read that my dear Savior died for sinners just like me. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm depending on the blood. And what a message. And that's what happened that night in the Passover when the Israelites put that blood upon their doorposts. Every one of them could shut the door, stay inside, and sing, I'm depending on the blood. And that's the hallelujah of the Christian. That's our praise, our confidence that we will be in heaven and saved from judgment because of the blood shedding of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have our faith in his blood. Now, everyone in that home stayed under the protection of the blood. No one was to leave. It was not a case where teenagers at 10 p.m. would say, oh, I have to go out and meet someone. I have to go somewhere. You know how teenagers are. Parents, they are happy to close the door for the night and stay home. But teenagers, they want to get out. But not that night, because everyone was to stay in. They were to isolate in their homes, and they were to depend that when the angel of death visited, that they would be safe under the blood mark on the doorposts. They were depending upon the blood. And no Christian will ever change that. No Christian will ever want to get to a place where they are out from the protection of the blood of the Lord Jesus. This is our hope and our confidence, and it is our way of living the Christian life that we are at peace with God. Now we come to the fulfillment of the promise of the blood. And perhaps this is already implied, but let's point this out. When God gave the sign of the blood to the people, there was a divine promise to them. This was not an experiment. It was not something the people were to try out, but rather God promised, I will pass over you. There is an absolute, unconditional promise that if they're under the blood, I will pass over you. And so the peace of the Israelites in their home depended on their trust in the promise of God. God promised this. Now, if you were to witness the activities of a family on that night, you could see the family in the home. They would kill the lamb. They would watch their father drain the blood of that lamb, the hot steaming blood, into a basin, and he would preserve it until dusk, and then he would take that basin out and apply the blood. One home owner is required to do this. It was something that had to be fulfilled. Now, as they did this, what was their grounds of peace? Well, it was the promise of God. God promised that he would spare each one who was under the blood. Now, in each home, just think of how the people waited. In some homes, there would be impatience. There would be fear. Some would walk back and forth wondering, is this going to work? Others, they would just say, well, we can rest now. We can sit down and be quiet and be absolutely certain that when the angel of death comes tonight, that we will be safe because they believed the promise. And in your heart, your contentment, your assurance is according to your faith in the promise of God. I will pass over you. Now, if you have trusted in the blood, then the blood is upon you. And we say that in a pictorial manner. If God looks upon you and he sees the blood of his Son upon you, that you have called on the Lord and prayed for cleansing in that blood, and you are trusting in its merits and value, then you can have peace. You can be at rest, and you can rejoice that you are saved. and you're depending on the wonderful promise of God. Now, that promise is written for us in the Bible. In 1 John 5:13, it says, "These things are written that ye might believe and that ye might have eternal life." We come back to the written Word of God. And that's why the Christian stands upon the Bible. That's why the Christian stands upon this Word. God said it, Jesus fulfilled it, and I believe it. When God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, I rejoice in that. It becomes my confidence and it becomes my peace. I am saved by the blood. Because after all, this promise is not made by some Joe Blow down the street. This is the promise of the everlasting and eternal God who has all power and all authority and who will not lie. He is faithful and we can take him at his word. When you look at verse 14, you will see the everlasting memorial of the blood. And it says, "This day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations." Forever, it says, forever. This depending on the blood is now the history of Israel, but it's also the unchanging message of the gospel. Now, this religion or culture of deliverance by blood was to be with God's people for all generations. In the Old Testament, this Passover was kept once every year. And every year at Passover, there was a mighty migration to the city of Jerusalem. There was the entering of the gates. There was the thousands of lambs that were sacrificed at the temple because every family needed their lamb, just as on the night of the Passover in Egypt. And this memorial, this feast was kept up year after year for 1,400 years until Christ came and until Christ ministered. And then the Lord, he switched from the Passover, instituted the Lord's Supper, saying, "This cup is the covenant in my blood." And so the Lord Jesus is the perpetual fulfillment of this Passover. Christians don't celebrate the Passover. Now, we talk about it, we learn from it. But we now look unto Jesus, because as John the Baptist preached, "Behold, the Lamb of God," and Jesus is that Lamb to us. And the apostles preached the cross. They preached the crucified Lord Jesus. Paul said, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ crucified." And as the Old Testament believer talked about, looked unto the Lamb and its blood, Christians, we talk about and we look to the blood of the Lord Jesus. This is now our conversation, our ministry, our preaching. And it's our singing. It is the very basis of our praise in faith that Jesus on that cross has paid it all. All to him I owe. And God still says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Oh, in the early church, this memorial then was changed from the Passover to the cup and the bread. And the Christian church is now to stay focused on the blood shedding and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's real gospel ministry. That's real gospel worship when we keep our minds and hearts fixed on the satisfaction of Christ in his sacrifice, the substitution of his death in the place of his people, that when God sees the blood, he will pass over you. And this is a gospel preaching church. We believe in the blood atonement. We believe in preaching the way of redemption by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I grew up in a church. It was a regular Presbyterian church in Ireland. But I have never heard the way of redemption by the blood of Jesus preached in that church. And when I was young, I attended fairly regularly. I can't say I was the most regular as I grew up, but I never, ever learned the way of redemption in that church. And that's the sad fact of many mainline Protestant churches that were once gospel preaching, gospel based, that they're no longer preaching the blood of redemption. And that is sad. And we think of many across this nation who go to church, who look to the ministry, they call it Christian, but there is no preaching of the blood. That is wrong. That is sad. And this church believes and insists upon the preaching of the blood as the way of redemption. Because every soul that is not under that blood is in danger. They are under wrath. The angel of death will strike. And men and women, boys and girls, who are not under the blood, saved by the blood of Jesus, are in danger. Death is coming. Wrath is coming. Eternity is coming. And you are not saved. And you must come and put your faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus. And so the gospel church can never preach too much about the blood of Jesus. Yes, let it be the constant theme of every service, every theme. I'm depending on the blood. When we come to our dying, we must be depending upon the blood of Jesus. Just think of it. Every soul that is going down into the valley of death without the blood atonement of Jesus is a lost soul, a perishing soul, headed for hell, without hope. We must preach the way of the blood. And when we get to heaven, we will be singing about the blood. What a wonderful thing. We will be praising God night and day for that Lamb, the Lord Jesus, who shed his blood for us. It will be the basis of our worship in glory. But souls in hell, they will continue to hate the doctrine of the blood of Jesus, because in hell there is no repentance. There is no faith granted. There is no turning around. There's no hope. It's eternal, ongoing, everlasting destruction without the covering of the blood of Jesus. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be your future, to perish in an everlasting hell because you despised the blood of the Lord Jesus. You thought it was too gory, too unpalatable. You wanted some little love story. But as that hymn says, that knowing the love of God is not enough. You must be depending on the blood. Are you? Is that your testimony? Is that your way of salvation? Is this your peace with God? I trust it is. And if I can help you in your search to know the Lord, well, please call me. I would love to open the Bible with you, even over the phone, and share with you the way of God's salvation, and you may call on the Lord to save you and wash you in the precious blood, and then you'll be sure of heaven and sure of life with God for all eternity. That's your night in prayer.